every time you shop. $1 spent on everyday items gets you 1 point, and get up to 25 points on every prescription you fill. When you've reached 1,000 Wellness Plus points, you'll get 20% off our regular prices for a year. And that's just one of the four ways to save. Now through September 24th, spend $50 a week on participating products at Rite Aid and earn 2,000 Plenty points worth $20 in savings. Visit riteaid.com/RakinPoints for details.
3 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock on the Gym Class here on KGYM, a Tuesday post-Labor Day edition. We'll talk about the college football weekend, the wild college football weekend. Let you know the AP Top 25 poll that has been out over the last couple hours or so, and a contract extension in Iowa City. Plus, we talk college football and baseball. All that coming up on a jam-packed edition of the Tuesday Gym Class, KGYM. Welcome, everyone. Tuesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM. Loads to talk about today. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Alex Kuhn, our producer. You'd like to comment on the weekend that was in the world of college football and more. Love to hear from you out there at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600 phone line. That is also our text line as well. As I bring in Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. I'm Scott Unash, Alex Kuhn, our producer here on the Gym Class and the APC as well. Mark, man alive. So much packed into a Labor Day weekend.
Well, we knew it was a heck of a lineup of college football games, and it didn't disappoint, that's for sure. You can run down the terrific games, the upsets, fantastic finishes. I pretty much had it all that first weekend, and can't look forward too much to the second weekend.
No, it drops off dramatically, doesn't it?
It does.
As far as big-time games, but boy, we got a bunch of them in week number one. Heard a few of them here on KGYM, and what a weekend it was. We will dive into that coming up here in just a moment. But the big story today, Dateline Iowa City, and it wasn't the weekly news conference from Kirk Ferentz, although we will hear about that coming up through local programming today up until 7 o'clock this evening. But the fact Kirk Ferentz has a contract extension in his back pocket, Mark, and this is probably going to be the final contract extension. It runs through 2026, and according to Kirk and Gary Barta, the Iowa Athletic Director, this is pretty much a retirement contract, if you will. So is 2026 going to be the final year that Kirk Ferentz coaches, perhaps? Or maybe there's another one beyond that. I don't know. But a big contract extension today for the Iowa football coach.
Well, if you didn't believe Kirk Ferentz is going to retire at Iowa, this seals it right here in my mind. And Kirk is 61 years old. Will he coach to 71? 70, 71?
Maybe.
I have a feeling he may not fulfill the length of this contract. No, he might. I could be surprised about that. But this is essentially, it's a 10-year deal worth $45 million. Essentially a 6-year extension to his previous contract. He's going to be eligible for all the bonuses that he has had in place, the buyout that was in place, pretty much the same thing. Perhaps hear more about that from Gary Barta, who spoke this afternoon after the Iowa players and head coach Kirk Ferentz met the media. It was enough for us to develop a poll question today, KGYMradio.com. Sponsored by Emo's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast. What's your opinion on Iowa's decision to extend Kirk Ferentz's contract? Four choices. It was a no-brainer. Secondly, it's too long. Third, it's too much money. Or fourth, go Cyclones.
At KGYRadio.com. Be sure to check in on that. We're going to talk about that. We'll do that with Michael Oss, the columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We're going to do that here probably in about a half hour or so. We're going to get Cal Eldred in first. Obviously, Mike joins us on Mondays. We weren't on yesterday due to Labor Day. Cal's on Tuesday. So we got two biggies. We got two headliners coming up today. So we'll talk more about the Kirk contract. Iowa is up to number 10 in the coaches poll that is out. That is up. I believe five places from last week. All kinds of shuffling due to what happened over the weekend. Alabama, Clemson, Florida State, Ohio State, Stanford, your top five. Michigan moves up to number six. The Houston Cougars, ladies and gentlemen, if you weren't a believer before, I got to say you're a believer now. Houston is in at number seven. Michigan State, who did not play particularly well on Friday night but got a win, they are number eight. Georgia, nine. Hawkeyes, 10. Other teams in there, TCU, who got a scare from South Dakota State, number 12. Oklahoma plummets to 13. Wisconsin, Wisconsin, they're nothing. Of course, our panel thought Wisconsin was nothing either. I was surprised at the Badgers and how well they played. Maybe more disappointed in how LSU played. But we can get to that here in a little bit as well. Oklahoma State is 17th. Baylor is 19th. Texas into the top 25. I thought they'd be higher. They're at number 20. And that is it for Big 10, Big 12 teams. And UNI is up to number 3 in the FCS poll.
Shows you how silly the preseason rankings are. I've always been an advocate of rolling out the rankings October 1. Maybe after the first three games, four games, what have you. You truly don't know what you have, aside from Alabama, I guess. But
and they're really good.
They are really good. Houston, I thought, with the most impressive win of the weekend, that being over Oklahoma. You got that Wisconsin-LSU game. UCLA going down. That was a very good game. Texas beating Notre Dame. An assortment of really thrilling action. But Houston looked really good, and
yeah,
they're really set up to run the table.
Houston is set up to run the table, and they control their own destiny, basically, to get to the national championship game. Also, is Houston now in the Big 12?
I don't think there's much question, is there?
How do you not put Houston into the Big 12 now? And
I see 10 teams that might not want them.
Well, I agree, but what if you turn your back on the Houston Cougars after they annihilated one of the two poster childs of your conference? Not annihilated, I take it back, but beat them pretty handily. I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can do that.
Text lines certainly weigh in if you have a question or a comment. 366-1600, that's our phone line as well. Dave K at 3513, does Kirk get a 10-year supply of bubble gum with his new contract?
Why not? You can buy all the bubble gum you can get for 45 mil.
We talked about that LSU-Wisconsin game. Perhaps the biggest LSU fan in Eastern Iowa is on the line right now.
Cajun Troy.
Hey, first of all, I want to say what a fantastic day it was in Green Bay. I mean, they had about 30,000 LSU fans, and I partied with as many as I could. Okay, I still have a sore voice from it, you know. So, but it was just phenomenal. But my whole thing is, I'm going to tell you what. All Wisconsin did was looked at the Alabama tape from last year, okay? And it said, let's put 10 in the box. Mm-hmm. And that's just what they did. And I tell you, they played their hearts out. I mean, you know, it was really, I had to give it to them. But I think after the game, every LSU fan, it wasn't like upset. It was more of like, same old crap.
I was just going to
say 8 months to change this.
I was just going to ask you that.
8 months. Cam Cameron is the highest paid assistant coach in college football. Highest. And I don't feel bad, you know, and I was sitting by the parents because I had a ticket sent to me, and Leonard Fournette, dad, I met him. I kind of told him, if your son's hurt, don't play. Let him go to the NFL. But so I, you know, and I wouldn't do that to a kid. Brandon Harris, they're not teaching him, you know, like Kirk. Kirk, your kids in here, two, three stars, one star, and he make them work. And that's what Nick Saban said. Saban said, when these kids come here, they don't know everything. So they're willing to learn. As a coach, you got to teach them. You got to put them in a position to do things or whatever. And you know what? And I'm going to the LSU-Alabama game because I want to experience it and go down there for once in my life because it's on my bucket list. So I got my ticket, and I'm going to go down there. But otherwise, it's just that hopefully he's fired after the Auburn game. I think he's not going to beat Auburn. And that's what it is. But it is, it is. And you guys say this, you know, and everybody say four, five, star. You number five in the nation every year, top five in recruiting. So you have the kids. But there's no discipline, like that big kid at the end.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think a Nick Saban kid would do that, or even an Iowa kid? That was, he should have went on the sideline and hit Les Miles that way. And his name is Leslie. Let's call him Leslie now. Let's call him who he is, Leslie Miles, okay? And it's just, so I was like, but I tell you what, it was a fantastic environment. It was just an awesome time in Green Bay. It really was. And it's just that. So I'm going to Glacier National Park for 3 Saturdays. So I won't see any football for the next few years.
Well, you got enough at Lambeau. Hey, glad you had a great time, Troy.
It was an awesome time. And hey, all right, guys, go ahead. Enjoy the rest of your season. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Troy.
Cajun Troy. An unhappy LSU fan. Yeah, we're supposed to have a brand new Les Miles. Didn't happen that way. So you had Houston. I was impressed by Houston the most. I was impressed by Texas. I was impressed by Wisconsin. Our whole panel, we'll give you the results, by the way. None of the panel picked Wisconsin. It was LSU across the board. And Wisconsin, I didn't think they could do it with the injuries, the graduations, everything. But they played old-fashioned Wisconsin football, and they just took it to LSU. And you can make a pretty good case for the Big Ten probably had the best weekend of anybody.
12-2, I think. Yeah.
Aside from some coach rowing the boat over Northwestern.
In different ways, I was impressed with Alabama rolling over USC and the way in which Florida State came back and beat Mississippi. I mean, I thought for a half, what was it, 28-6 at halftime?
Yeah, it was. Well, wow. It was 28-13 at half, I believe.
That Florida State second half was truly remarkable.
Two freshman quarterbacks, Francois and Bouchel, really stepping up.
Not Steve Bouchel.
Shane Bouchel. Now, I was going to look, and I never got a chance to, if that is Steve's son. Of course, he's from Arlington, so I'm kind of putting two and two together here. Look that up while we're going to break.
I will do that.
All right.
He is. Alex Kuhn says yes.
Okay, yes. Steve Bouchel's son. That would have been a nice thing to say during the broadcast, but... You know, it is what it is. All right, we're going to talk more college football. We'll do that coming up here in a little bit. I'm not going to touch the demise of the SEC because they didn't demise over the weekend. They did okay. No, like I said, I don't think there was really a conference. And you can't tell from one week anyway what's going to happen. It could all change by the time
October.
A lot
of haters out there, though.
Who lost in the first week last year to the Northwestern Wildcats?
Stanford.
Came out pretty well, didn't it, for True. The Stanford Cardinal. We're going to take a break, come back, talk some baseball. We're going to put football on the back burner for just a moment or so, and we are going to talk to Cal Eldred, the former major leaguer. Plenty to talk about. We'll do that when we come back. It is a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM.
This is KGYM's Alex Kuhn. Friday afternoon at 3, tune in to 106.3 FM for the LaJames International College Tailgate Tour with Little Caesars Pizza and the Iowa National Guard. I'll be coming to you live from Iowa City West before their matchup with Cedar Falls. I'll be talking with coaches and getting ready for the action. The LaJames International College Tailgate Tour with Little Caesars Pizza and the Iowa National Guard. Friday afternoon at 3 on the Gym.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Look at this one I caught. That fishing trip was awesome.
Yeah, I wish I could have gone.
I'm telling you, buddy, come work for Mediacom like me and you can afford fishing trips, a motorcycle, all that stuff.
My job's okay.
Right. You never have any money.
I know.
Doing direct sales at Mediacom, I meet a lot of people, and I know the harder I work, the more I'll make.
You do make it sound pretty good.
It is good. MediacomCable.careers, man. Just saying.
Live the life and get the stuff you want. Apply now to be a direct sales representative at MediacomCable.careers.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the Gym Class on KGYM.
17 past the hour at 3 o'clock, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. All this week, Mark and I have Dr. Pepper prize packs to give away. And since we weren't on yesterday, Mark, we're going to double the pleasure for our listeners out there, we're going to give away two Dr. Pepper prize packs today, which includes a 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper, some Dr. Pepper swag, and some KGYM swag we're going to throw in there as well. So we'll do that coming up a little bit later on. Also coming up tonight, it is our APC Fantasy Football League Draft. And, of course, the Fantasy Football League is brought to you by Imon Communications. We have, what, fourth pick? Something like that? Second? Third? Fourth? What do we have?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, that'll be fun. Emil's Hideaway is going to be our host tonight. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun out there. And looking forward to seeing the great people out at Emil's.
Follow-up to Steve Buschel. Alex Kuhn points out that Buschel, who is the bench coach for the Texas Rangers, was not at the Rangers game Saturday, so he could attend his son's game. And I should say it was well worth it.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, 18 minutes past the hour of 3. We're going to talk to Michael Oss coming up in just a little bit. We start things off with Cal Eldren, the former major leaguer, joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the program. Cal, do you know, how well do you know Steve Buschel, or do you know Steve Buschel?
I have just met him, that's it. So
okay.
I do not know him very well. Big day for him, huh?
It was a big day for him and Shane Buschel. He was pretty darn good.
Well, I'll tell you what. It doesn't matter. You think back to your playing days, and people ask you, you're more nervous when you're playing or watching your kids play. And you know, I'm going to tell you, it's just fun to watch them get to do something that they are enjoying. And I'm sure he had a great time.
Cal, I want to ask you about two teams in the National League that I thought were going to be around for the duration, at least in the wild card hunt. You could say they're technically still in it, but Pittsburgh and Miami. Both those teams are under 500. Why have they slipped?
Well, I didn't really think that Miami, I guess I wasn't quite as high on Miami, maybe a little bit as I was Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh's had some injuries. Obviously, Stanton in Miami, losing him, that definitely hurts them. They got D. Gordon back. It looked like, I know we talked about this probably a month ago, maybe longer, guys, when D. Gordon came back and Stanton was starting to get hot. And you're thinking, oh, my goodness, look out for these guys. Fernandez is pitching so well, and their bullpen was doing well. And then Stanton gets hurt, and the ball club, there's the momentum that they had is just gone. And so and the other thing about Pittsburgh, you turn back to Pittsburgh, they traded their closer.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that their bullpen, the other guys in their bullpen aren't capable, but Melanson's had 30-some 40 saves for the last few years with Pittsburgh. And when you take somebody at the back end of the bullpen and you take him away, everybody else's job shifts, and it shifts up. More responsibility. It's different when you add someone like the Cubs did, adding Aroldis Chapman, and it slides everybody down. And the other thing that, and I've always been told this, that good teams play better in the second half, and bad, you know, teams that just are not ready to compete don't play as well. And both Miami and Pittsburgh have had little spurts, but not enough, not that winning streak that both of them needed to propel them past a couple teams in the wild card race.
Well, here's the other thing, too, for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I'll piggyback this with another question coming up. 3-12 versus the Chicago Cubs, and that's just not going to cut it.
No, and for Pittsburgh, too, you know, losing Garrett Cole, not having him in the rotation, having to depend on their young starting pitching that they were hoping they would probably only have to get a little bit of a taste and kind of break him in slow. Man, they're in the middle of it right now. And but you know what? You really have to give that a team in the division, when they play well in the division like the Cubs have, and the Pirates haven't. That's the difference. You're exactly right, Scott.
People talked about my other question about that, kind of piggybacking on Pittsburgh and Miami going under 500. A lot of people have been commenting the National League is not, I don't want to say not good or anything like that, but they're really only at this point three teams that are kind of distancing themselves from 500, and a lot of pundits have been talking about that. The Cardinals have had a little run as of late, but the Mets were hovering above 500. Now they're six over. The Giants have had the worst record in baseball since the All-Star break. There's just not a lot of good teams in the National League right now.
Well, and that's
aside from the Cubs. from the Cubs, right, and the Nationals.
Exactly. But to your point, look at the National League West. And I know we've said this in the past, and many times it's always been, it's the Dodgers and the Giants, and that's it. And everybody thought, a lot of us thought, I know I thought Arizona would play much better, but I thought that we're going to get good pitching from Greinke and Shelby Miller. When you lose your, that's their number one and two. And, you know, Corbin should be able to help, but their pitching just hasn't been anywhere close to what they thought it was going to be. And some of that's been injury. The Dodgers with Kershaw being out, you can say that, some of that's been injury. But really, the Dodgers, I don't think, have played that great to get back into this race. The Giants have just not played well at all. But it's hard to argue with that. You look at how many teams, when I'm putting together a top five, you look at power rankings, too, on a lot of these articles, you don't see very many National League teams. There's a lot of good American League teams, but there's a lot of offense in the American League that the National League just does not have.
Cal, if this were 15, 20 years ago, they would say Brian Dozier is juicing. three home runs yesterday. Only Mark Trumbo has more home runs in Major League Baseball than this second baseman, who is kind of slight of build compared to others. But I don't expect you to have seen a lot of the Twins games. But what is going on with Dozier?
Well, I've seen a couple of his recent games because they've been playing our Royals, and of those 38 homers, 10 of them are against the Kansas City Royals. So evidently we can't get it out of the middle of the plate. And the ones he hit the other day, with the exception of the first one he hit off Kennedy, it was down the middle of the plate. And Dozier has a good, solid swing that he doesn't try to do too much. And when I say that, he may be left field bleachers look like that little, well, those little brown balls in that game that you play at Chuck E. Cheese and you roll it up and it flips in. I mean, he went every deck against the Royals. So I just think that I liked him. When I went to a scouting school with St. Louis, he was the player that I was given to scout, and he was just coming into the league. And I didn't think he had this kind of power, but you're right. Mark, they talked about how, you know, you hear the little inklings of is he doing something? And then you hear also, I know people talking about the baseballs are harder. I don't know. I just think he has a great swing, and he doesn't go out of the strike zone. For a guy that has not that much offense around him, he sure is pretty selective, and he does a nice job. He doesn't miss it when he gets it.
When he does go out of the zone, he's a pretty good high ball hitter, too, I think.
And that's the thing. And so that is when you're facing guys, you face a guy like Chuck Knobloch was pretty good hot up in the zone. But then Chuck had a little bit of power, so he could at least find the gap. He didn't have Dozier's power. But those guys are tough to face because they'll foul off that low pitch where you try to pitch them. And if they hit it on the ground, they're fast enough to get a hit. But with him being able to go up above the strike zone and still get the barrel on it, stay on top of it, that's why he's got 38 homers.
Cal Elder joining us, 3:26, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. And Cal, as a former pitcher, you know this all too well, but we had that one of those ugly incidents that all pitchers don't want to see and never want to have happen to them over the weekend with Matt Shoemaker. Underwent a surgery yesterday to relieve some bleeding on the brain. It's ugly, and you know, I hate to say it's a part of baseball because you don't want to see that happen. And obviously already you've got some people coming out. Pitchers should wear helmets, everything like this. It's just unfortunate what happened.
It is. And you don't quite know the severity of his injury at this point. I know he's had surgery done. I did read the article today about how they believe that they've got the bleeding stopped and he seems to be resting fine. But when that stuff, guys, you know, we've unfortunately experienced this too often in head injuries. And when they're doing surgeries, on your brain, you just never know what can happen. So, and guys, I'm telling you, I would have never wanted to pitch with a helmet on. I have plenty of balls that went by me that I thought, wow, if that was in my face or my head, I would have never even got a hand up. Sometimes you think it doesn't happen. Should it have? Would it happen more than it does? But there are lots of balls that guys get hit, especially in their lower half. A lot of guys get one hoppers off the leg, and guys are kicking them. But it is a scary, scary situation when you throw a pitch and that ball whizzes by you, and you realize that ball's past me. I never had any chance to react, and hopefully he's going to be fine.
With less than a month left in the regular season, what managers are on the hottest seats right now, Kel?
You look at the teams. I think Paul Molitor's fine. I think, but again, with that said, Mark, are we going to see a change? And now that they're having somebody come in and be the general manager or the president and change things there, in Los Angeles with the Angels, man, he's been there for a long time.
Yeah.
And I believe that he has the ear of the owner because there's already one general manager that's been ran out there. But you really look at what he's been able to do there. That spot, the Angels would be the where it's the hot seat is. But other places, Atlanta could be another spot, no question. They've got an interim guy in there now. I don't know that that's going to stay the same. And I know there's a question, too, about Brian Price in Cincinnati. And I'm not sure. I'm really not sure.
I think Mike Socha, I just see a parting of the ways between the Angels and Mike Socha. I think, like I said, he's done a great job. I think he's a good manager, a good baseball guy. But there comes a point where you've spent so many years with the same organization. And it just seems like the Angels are kind of spinning their wheels a little bit. I think it'd be just a good time for a change.
Well, and I know he has the ear. Art Moreno and Mike Socha obviously see eye to eye on a lot of things. But I'm telling you, I have to agree with you, Scott. And the one thing that they haven't had, though, they just haven't had the pitching. They have not had the starting pitching to stay competitive because they've had the franchise player in Mike Trout, and they've had some good offensive teams, but it's the pitching that's really hurt them.
What in the world is going on with the power surge in St. Louis?
Man, I don't know. I was actually gonna call Mabry and said, so we're not in the middle of the field anymore. It's just back leg and drop the shoulder and launch. I wasn't quite sure what they're doing there, but I think the thing with St. Louis, that's not an easy ballpark to hit home runs in either, guys. So these guys are getting their pitches, and they're not missing them. Obviously, Jerko has had as good a second half home run-wise as anybody, and I know that was part of the reason why they went out and got him. They thought that he was going to maybe provide a little bit more power, and he sure has been. But the other guys, and Matt Holliday, you know, I mean, when he's not around and you're looking at the whole lineup as what it is, there's guys just consistently hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And St. Louis, that's not their usual way to score runs. It's more of a manufacturer. It's more of a doubles, gap hitters. But sometimes I think it's one of those same theories. I don't think they've changed their hitting philosophy at all. Not that I don't think. I know they haven't. They try to stay up the middle of the field and drive the ball the other way if that's what they're given with two strikes. But no matter what, they try to drive it up the middle of the field. And one year, they were great with runners in scoring position, and this year they're hitting the ball in the ballpark.
Someone asked me this question. I couldn't fully answer it, Cal, but I told him that I would ask you today, and it's somewhat silly, but I was asked, why do they run through so many baseballs in a game? Every time there's a ball in the dirt, they throw it out. Can it get that smudged up you can't throw it back to the pitcher?
It doesn't. It really does not. And what amazes me, how many times you see, and we were just talking about this when I was with our Omaha team in Des Moines, that you'll see a ground ball hit. It bounces five or six times. The ball is thrown over to first base. Guy digs it out of the dirt. They throw it around, and the pitcher gets the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no idea. We were trying to figure out how many baseballs that they go through in the major leagues in one game. And it's all about, well, the pitcher's going to use that scuff to his advantage. There's not that many pitchers that know how to do that. And, you know, in all honesty, I didn't like baseballs that had scuffs on them at all. I liked a regular baseball that was rubbed up right, and it was a newer baseball, and it was rubbed up really good. So I knew where it was going. I didn't want it moving someplace I didn't expect it to.
Well, there's 54 outs in a game. I got to believe it's a couple hundred balls a game.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, guys, the thing is, too, is you go to, you know, if the fans go out and they go to a game in Des Moines or even in Cedar Rapids with the Colonels now, it's creeped down to the lower level.
Mm-hmm.
The one good thing for the fans is when it rolls down to the bullpen or to the dugout, they're throwing more and more baseballs into the stands.
That is true. Before we get your top five here, it was July last year, I believe, when I started trumpeting that Jake Arrieta was going to win the Cy Young, and I was correct on that. He helped me out on that. And I think that was the last prediction I did get right. Kyle Hendricks this year. Can Kyle Hendricks win the Cy Young Award, even though with, I think, seven losses at this point, but he leads the National League in ERA. Doesn't throw super hard, but, man, he's a pitcher. He's got a little Greg Maddux in him, at least this year anyway.
He does, and I think Hendricks is a guy that sees what the hitters are doing too. I'm maybe some people think this maybe is a little bit of a fluke, but I think this guy is very intelligent. But it's one thing to be smart and to know what pitches to throw, and then it's another thing to be able to deliver. And he's been able to do that. I really think you ask hitters, the biggest thing about him is that every pitch looks the same, and they all move. And the combination that gets most hitters for him is the sinking fastball and then the changeup. And he doesn't have, you know, occasionally he'll have a lot of strikeouts in one game. But I'm telling you, I like him, Scott. I like him for the Cy Young Award. But that Max Scherzer is coming on strong, fellas. I mean, you really look at what he's done of late. He's been very, very impressive. But you wonder why the Cubs are winning. And the Cubs are winning partly because they do have a good offense. But they've got three of the top five or six guys, Lester, Arrieta, and Hendricks, are at the top, near the top of the top five or six in ERA. They're just not letting people score when they start.
First top five of September, Cal. What does it look like?
Well, it's going to look a little similar. there were some teams, you guys know, and I know both of you guys know this in the last couple weeks because you've watched this team play your teams, but Detroit is 10 out of their last 13 they've won. Seven of those wins have come via the Minnesota Twins and the Chicago White Sox. Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
But because of that, they're not going to be in my top five. So I'm not trying to make this hurt, but Detroit did come to Kansas City and take two out of three from them, but that was after Kansas City went to Detroit and swept them. So I'm not sold on them yet. But I am going to go, and this may be a little bit of looking into the future, the top five. My number five team is the Los Angeles Dodgers, because I think Puig is going to continue to play, and he's been swinging the bat good just in a couple opportunities he's had, and they're going to get Clayton Kershaw back. So I really like them at number five. The rest of the top five guys stays the same. With the Washington Nationals playing so well, they've got an 8.5-game lead. The Cleveland Indians, I think, are a touch better than them at this point. There's youth there. The experience is with the Nationals. The youth is on Cleveland's side, but they're only 4.5 up. And so there's some question whether they can hang on. But then you got the Texas Rangers at number two with their 8.5-game lead, and the Chicago Cubs at number one. You can't argue with them. They're going to get Rondon and Stroke back into that bullpen. They're going to be awful tough to score against, and you know they're going to score. They're 16.5 games up, and I looked up some statistics. When you're at a four on Labor Day and you've got a 4-game lead, you're a little better than a 50% chance of winning the division. These other teams are closer to 75 and 80% when they're up around 8.5 games. It's close to 80%. So I know the wild card has added a lot, guys, and I wasn't necessarily for it, but you know what? It's added a lot of intrigue and a lot of fun to the game. in the month of September.
It really has. Hey, Cal, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
You bet, guys.
Cal Elder joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. We're going to take a break. As we go to a break, though, we're going to throw out the first of our two lucky numbers. Remember last week, Mark, at Fry Fest, when you stopped by the KGYM booth, you picked up a program card, and on that card, it had a lucky number. And they, your instructions were very simple. Hold on to your lucky number. And if we call your number, all you need to do is call us before 7 o'clock at 319-366-1600 with the correct number, and you must have the card. Sorry, we can't take your word for it that you had it.
You got to bring it in and prove it to us.
You got to bring it in and prove it. But if you do that, we're going to give you $100. It is that simple. So if you have this number on your card, give us a call. Give Alex a call at 319-366-1600. The number is 1284. 1284. 1284. If you have that number from Fry Fest on your program card you picked up at the KGYM booth, call us at before 7 at 319-366-1600. All right, we'll take a break. Michael Oss joins us when we return.
There are so many choices for a home loan. Options are crucial when it comes to a first-time home purchase, mortgage refinancing, or bill consolidation loan. Hi, I'm Dan Hillers with First Federal Credit Union. Being able to select the absolute best loan for your situation can literally save you thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced homeowner, I promise to work to find the solution that is right for you. Learn more at firstfedcu.com. Member NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
It's only 3 days until the NFL kicks off the 2016 season. Don't miss a minute of the action. Get NFL Red Zone from NFL Network now. Every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoon. NFL Red Zone from NFL Network is available on Mediacom. Go to MediacomCable.com.
Burger King presents Breakfast Stories. Today's story, Marty and the 2 for $4 croissant sandwich.
Yeah, I go to Burger King. They got that croissant sandwich deal, 2 for $4. It's wicked good with the sausage, dude. And 2 for $4, that is a huge bargain. Huge.
Well said, Marty. Tasty, savory, sausage on a flaky croissant. Hey, this is not breakfast. This is a Burger King breakfast. Get 2 croissant sandwiches now for just $4. Only at Burger King. Price of participation vary.
Progressive presents Mindflowness with Flo.
Your mind is a blank slate as you enter total relaxation. Safe driver, paperless, multi-car. They are wrapping their savings around you. Like the tinfoil that wraps around your hot dog at a ball game, which for some reason costs $12.50.
Switch to Progressive and surround yourself with savings. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Napa Know-How.
You don't need an air-conditioned steering wheel or high-performance supercharger to use Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil. Now just $5.79 a quart at Napa. Mobil 1 offers premium protection for all cars, premium or not so premium. So give your ride Mobil 1 synthetic, just $5.79 a quart, even if it doesn't have the latest technological stuff. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
General States Pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 9/30/16.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Eastern Iowa Sports is their domain. Back to the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
We are back. It is the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. We have two Dr. Pepper prize packs we're going to be giving away. We will do that coming up here in just a little bit. Our thanks to Cal Elder for joining us. And on our cavalcade of terrific guests, we go from Cal Elder to Michael Oss. You can follow him at Haloss.
Or is this the person that had 1284?
No, this is Mike.
Oh, okay.
This is Mike. We're still looking for 1284 out there. You have until 7 o'clock tonight to give us a call at 319-366-1600. Follow Mike on Twitter at Haloss. Follow him at thegazette.com as well. And the big story today, Mike, good afternoon, is
Hi.
Kirk Ferentz. $45 million can buy you a lot of packs of gum, man.
Yeah. Yeah. 45 million. Well, I tell you what, you get to 30, 35, 40, 45 million, you start talking about some real money, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think anyone was surprised by this news because it's kind of been in the offing over the past several months.
Yeah, it's basically the equivalent of what they call a contract year in baseball or football or basketball for athletes. The deal with coaches is the unwritten rule is you want to have the coach under contract all the way through at least what would be the senior year of college for kids that you're recruiting right now so that nobody can come in and say, hey, look, that coach isn't even under contract for when you're going to be a senior. How can you be sure he's even going to be there? Well, you know, this goes on quite a bit, and what you do is if you're parents and his assistants now, you say, we've got a contract until 2025. We're going to be there. It's in black and white.
Do you, how do I put this? Do you believe Kirk will be coaching in 2025 at the University of Iowa?
No.
Okay.
No, he'll be 70. I do think that he's very, I think he's 100% serious when he says he doesn't know, he's not going to put a cap on it. That's what he said today. Because I don't think he knows how long he's going to coach, but I know that he's not. He doesn't have any plans to get out anytime soon. He's enjoying it. He's got good health, and I think he's really enjoying the beginning of what I think they feel is the real renaissance with the facilities, with last year's results, a couple of recruiting classes in a row that look like they're among the best they've had. And just an overall vibe that they're, I think, going to be a good team for quite a while. And so I think he feels like a re-energized person. He's got a staff he likes. He works with his son. I don't think he's got any plans to do anything else. And when I've interviewed him in the recent past, you know, I asked him what he would do for fun, and it would be to go watch somebody else coach. That's not somebody who wants to go fishing or golfing or mountain climbing. But 2025 is a long ways off, you know. And what I think is he wants to coach for a few more years, maybe several more. But with that length of a contract, you give yourself some wiggle room that you can go out during a high period. And it makes it pretty easy then to kind of slide things over to son number one.
Yeah, 2235 kind of stole my question about Brian Ferentz and what this means for his head coaching possibilities, because I think he's regarded as a potential head coach, perhaps, at Iowa.
Coach in waiting, I believe, coach in waiting. Is what, how they determine that.
Yeah, what does it mean for him?
Well, it's more security for him. Look, if this program is 9-3, 10-2 type of material for the next few years, it's not going to be, will he be the next coach? It's when will he be the next head coach? And if the day comes when some Power 5 conference program made a play for him, then maybe Iowa escalates that. But, you know, if they have years like they had between 2011 and 2014, it's going to take a lot more convincing. So, you know, it's like everything else in sports. The future is a mystery. But what we know is that the family Ferentz business is going to continue for quite a while.
Yeah, and business is doing pretty good right now. Now, it could have been better. Looking back to Saturday at Kinnick Stadium, Iowa got out of the chute like gangbusters. Miami, Ohio certainly helped them a little bit, but... you know, there are a few things, as the coaches like to say, that they can work on going from week one to week two. Obviously, Josie Jewell wasn't in there for 98% of the football game, but defense did give up some yards to the Redhawks.
Yeah, they gave up rushing yards, which was a concern. You need to tighten that up. In the passing game, they got beat pretty badly a couple of times. I thought overall it wasn't a panic button type deal. What you got to consider in that total yardage is Miami didn't really do damage until Iowa had command of the game. And secondly, Iowa's scoring drives were brief. And, I mean, Iowa only ran, I believe, 50 plays in that game, which is pretty incredible to score 45 points and only run 50 plays. But they were very economical and had big plays. So that kind of skews the defense. Defense was on the field for 36 minutes. When you're on the field for 36 minutes against any FBS team that's competent whatsoever, you're going to give up chunks of yardage at some point. But, yeah, they've got what they call teachable moments. Okay, but I didn't see anything Saturday that told me that they're in panic mode.
What relative newcomer, if any, Mike, impressed you the most? Was it a Nelson at defensive end or Germany Smith at receiver? Was it the kicker or was it somebody else?
Oh, it was Nelson.
Yeah.
That was quite a debut. I mean, he's not going to get 2.5 sacks every game, but to bring that off the edge the way he did, it's a dimension to your defense that's pretty fantastic to have. Now, if you can do it against Big Ten opponents is a different matter, but for a first game and for a kid that didn't even start, you might have a phenom there. And the only real question mark on defense was the line. The linebackers and defensive backs are, I think, all pretty much proven quantities with the exception of the safety Snyder. So it's experience and depth up front, but I tell you, if you can get anything resembling that from Anthony Nelson on a consistent basis, you're a better defense than you thought you were going to be.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. The other guys you named, Germanic Smith had a really nice game. We still don't know about the kicker because the only field goal he tried was, I think, 22 yards, but the new punter did very, very well. His kickoffs were great.
Yeah, I think I was very impressed early by the punter, but it's been one game. We'll see what happens. Aside from SEC bashing around the world, the other bashing, and I think it was kind of unfounded a little bit, people on Greg Maben after the game, and we talked about that on our pregame show, Mark. And
he got torched.
He did, but he's going to get most of the business coming up for 2016 because Desmond King's on the other side. And he's not a bad corner. I think he's going to learn from this. Are you worried about Greg Maben, Mike?
I don't know. Not terribly, but I'll be interested to see what Alan Lazard can do against him Saturday because Lazard is, what, 6'4"?
Yep.
Something like that?
And can jump.
He's the real deal. So it's going to be on Iowa State's quarterback to get him the ball in a place where he can catch it. But I think if he does, Lazard's going to catch it. He just is.
Yeah, I think Desmond King might follow him around a little bit this Saturday, Mike.
Maybe. You might have to see Desmond King doing more than just staying in the same place all day. But I wouldn't panic over Maben either. I thought that he had a nice season last year. Not showy, especially in the shadows of King, but certainly competent. But, Miami's coach made up his mind that he wanted absolutely zero to do with Desmond King, which would tell you that Miami's coach is fairly intelligent. And I think we're going to see a lot of that. As far as 8 interceptions last year, King might be lucky if he has 8 passes to defend.
Because of the time, you were still polishing your column when Iowa State and you and I kicked off, I know, Mike. But your thoughts on that game, the beat goes on sort of for Iowa State. But you have to give a lot of respect to you and I think, don't you?
Yeah, it's the third time they've won over there under Farley. This isn't new.
Mm-hmm.
I think his team's as good as Iowa State, which isn't really all that astute considering that Northern Iowa won. But I think his quarterback is as good, if not better, than Iowa State's. And I got to watch some of the second half after I got home from Iowa City, and what I saw from Iowa State looked not good. The fourth quarter in particular, very messy. The turnovers were just so bad. Warren fumble, and then the two interceptions Lanning had late in the game were passes that he had. I mean, you and I could have picked those off. Well, you could have. I mean, they were just terrible passes, terrible decisions, terrible something or another. It was a game Iowa State should have won, and Northern Iowa deserved to win, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's that do to Cy-Hawk week? I don't know. Now people
makes it realistic.
Okay. And people are saying there's going to be less hype for this week than a game in that people can remember in a while. Are you buying that?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be all that hyped. You know, the funny thing about sports fans is they're so superstitious and they hang on to some things and Iowa opened as a 17-point favorite, and immediately somebody told me that the last time Iowa was a 17-point favorite over Iowa State won, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm sorry, but the eyeball test tells you the Hawkeyes should be 17-point favorites. Yeah, I know that they've played close games, but they play close games when Iowa's not good. Last year's game was close most of the game, but Iowa was the better team that day. If you look at the statistics, Iowa was clearly the better team. If you look at the years when Iowa State beats Iowa, generally Iowa's mediocre. I think somebody had a stat today on Twitter that said that when Iowa beats Iowa State, it averages 9 wins, and when Iowa State beats Iowa, Iowa averages less than 6 wins. That tells you something.
Is there anything a newspaper man hates more than night games? You don't have to answer that honestly, I suppose.
I could think of it. Well, night games, editors. I mean, no.
Ex editors, probably.
Yeah, long lost ex editors.
That was a good one. Are these games getting too long? And I forgot.
Yes.
It took me about 2 hours to figure out the only thing I detest about, especially college football, is replay. Oh, my. They replayed 3 straight plays on the goal line between Texas and Notre Dame on Sunday night. It's unbearable now.
It was a better game when they didn't have it. I didn't think I'd say that because you sound like you're stuck in the past, but I don't care how good the game is. I can't focus on something for 4 hours. You know, it's like if you went to a rock concert and it was really good, by about the third hour, though, you're going to start yawning. And to me, baseball game's the same way. I mean, you'll have 4-hour games that are great, but more often than not, it's, can we go home? I feel the same way watching a 4-hour college football game, and they do. They drag these things out, and the replay would be okay if they got it right every time, but they don't even do that.
It blew one in the Iowa game on Saturday, which turned out to be a pretty darn big play.
That was a terrible call against Miami. It was a crime. And then in that Notre Dame-Texas game, a Notre Dame player got targeted in the end zone, and they didn't call as much as a penalty.
Josie Jewell got kicked out for that.
Yeah. You know, it's okay. If you blow a call on the spot and play goes on, I'm thinking human beings. Human beings make mistakes, such as life. So be it. But if you've got to spend 10 minutes looking something over and then you still get it wrong, is this a good idea?
We're on deadline, Mike.
Yeah, well, we are all on deadline. I tell
you. We will talk Monday again next week after the Cy-Hawk series game. Mike, have a terrific, terrific week and weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Follow him at Halas on Twitter and at thegazette.com. Yeah. Read his stuff. That is Mike Halas. Joins us on Mondays. We moved him to Tuesday because of Labor Day. Mark, couple things to take care of. First of all, Sean was our big winner in the first pick six, but for the first time since 2014, Team Gym Class, Mark, is what?
One game ahead of the APC with a sterling 7-11 record. Sean 4-2, I was 3-3, Scott and Alex 2-4, and Todd and Tyler 1-5.
Alabama saved their bacon, or from us getting bacon.
That's right.
We will see everybody tonight at the draft. Looking forward to that. Of course, the APC Fantasy Football League brought to you by Imon Communications. Speaking of Imon Communications, Chris Liss of rotowire.com will join us coming up tomorrow, and Rob Gray of cyclonefanatic.com will talk Iowa State with us coming up tomorrow. We need two winners of Dr. Pepper prize pack, so give us a call right now at 319-366-1600. Caller 5 and caller number 6 we will take. They are going to get a Dr. Pepper prize pack. Hope you enjoyed the show. Back with you tomorrow at 3 on KGYM.
Well, Mark, and the Iowa State Cyclones are teaming up to improve the health of Iowans. We call it the Wellmark 3-point play, encouraging fans to eat right, move more, and feel better. And each time the Cyclones score a 3-point play in football or basketball, Wellmark contributes to an area health project. But we need your help selecting this season.